to another episode of Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I am your host, LaShara Binkley. You can find me on Twitter at HTownForLife40, all caps. I am the director of basketball operation for Overtime Heroics. I'm also a contributor for Space City Scoop. And of course, I'm a podcast host for Launchpad Podcast, which is presented by Apollo Media Podcast Network. Today, we have a very special guest, a person I've been talking to on Twitter back and forth for a while, and I've always loved his content and definitely wanted to have him on the show, and so happy to have him on today. We are joined by Big Sarge of Big Sarge Media, and first off, I want to say thank you very much for joining us. Like I said, we've been talking for a while, and it's definitely a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thank you for having me, brother. I appreciate any opportunity that I have to be able to talk, because I'm a talker. You know, I didn't realize that until I started this second profession after I got out of the military. I was like, wait a minute. So I've been preparing myself for the media this whole time and never even knew it. I just thought I talked a lot.
Yeah, you just kind of just fell into it. It was natural.
Yeah.
So normally this part, I would go through all the different platforms you can find our guest at. But since Big Sarge is part of so many different platforms, he got so much going on and so many different causes, I definitely wouldn't do it justice. So I want to let Big Sarge actually let our listeners know all the different platforms they can find him, all the different causes he's part of. Because like I say, he's part of a lot of great things, and he has actually some big news of something big coming up for Big Sarge Media starting on the 13th. So won't you let our listeners know everywhere they can find you at?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Big Sarge Sports with a Z at the end, because you know, I mean, I'm African-American. Let me just go ahead and put that out there right now. We do things different, right? Right. Yes, so that's so it's Big Sarge Sports with a Z on Twitter. I also have BigSargeSports.com, and I am the sports editor for Houston Style Magazine. And starting on the 13th, well, I also have Big Sarge Sports Podcast available wherever you get your podcast from. I know that you're not, you all can't see me, but I normally turn my head and give a little wink after I say that.
We'll just imagine, yeah.
Exactly. And starting April 13th, I will be on air Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4 p.m. on Raise the Praise 100.com with Sports Talk with Big Sarge.
Like I said, you got a lot going on, and we'll definitely be tuning in on the 13th, because we know that's going to be another great part of Big Sarge Media. So definitely make sure everyone that you're tuning in to all the different platforms you can find Big Sarge at. But in today's podcast, we're going to be, of course, talking about the Rockets. Not necessarily individual games, because we all know at the end of the day, it's really not about wins. I would say it's not about losses, but it really is kind of about losses at this point, depending on how you feel about draft position. But in this first segment, we're going to actually be talking about kind of the season as a whole right now. Let me ask you, Big Sarge, now that, you know, we're kind of winding down the season, and this is kind of the first time we've talked about it on a podcast, what's kind of your overall thoughts on the entire season? I've been following the Rockets for you know, decades and decades, and this is probably one of the weirdest, strangest, most frustrating seasons I've ever watched, you know, being a fan and now, you know, reporting on the Rockets. What's kind of your overall thoughts on the whole season, going all the way back to, you know, when they traded Westbrook up until now?
You know, I thought that coming into this season, I said, it's pretty strange and weird that I watched a team play all their games inside of a bubble, you know, with the pandemic, you know, COVID-19 pandemic stopping the NBA season and then them restarting down in Orlando and then playing the rest of their games, you know, including the playoffs. And they even had the, you know, NBA finals there. I said to myself, I had never seen, and, you know, I've been watching basketball a long time. I'm an older guy, so I've seen it all. I remember a time where basketball was on tape delay. Yeah. So we didn't get a chance to see the games live. And so I said, I'm looking at these games in the bubble. I was like, oh man, I know it can't get any weirder than this. And then the 2020-2021 NBA season for the Rockets happened. And then you lose Westbrook, you know, then you lose Harden. Not only that, you have players who can't start the season due to COVID tracing. Yes. And then you have all these injuries. And so I said, Oh wow! You know, that bubble, that finale of the NBA 2020 season had nothing on what's going on with the Houston Rockets this year. They have been through. You know, I feel sorry for Coach Silas because this is your first job, your dream job, and what I mean by dream job, it may not have been the dream team, but it's his dream job. He's been an assistant coach for over 20 years, and now he finally gets his chance to be an NBA head coach. And then all of a sudden it's like he walks into the house, you know, from the outside, it looks beautiful. I mean, it's a mansion, but then you walk on the inside and then you got problems with the plumbing, you got problems with electricity, the rails are out. And so it's been one of those seasons where I'm going to be honest with you. I'm watching it as it unfolds, but I'm not holding it against, you know, the Houston Rockets organization, you know, because you got a first year general manager, you got a first year head coach, and they've gone through so much adversity. I think on last night may have been like the 36th different starting lineup out of 52, 53 games that the Houston Rockets have played. And so I can't hold it against them. But like I said, I've never seen anything as strange as this season for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned about him walking into the, you know, house looking great on the outside. Kind of reminds me of the meme that's always out there, Donald Glover walking in with the pizza in his hand. He, you know, he's walking in happy, then all of a sudden he walks in and stuff's on fire, people on the floor, things are going crazy. And kind of just reminds me exactly what you just said about Coach Silas kind of walking into this situation. And we're actually going to talk a little bit more about Coach Silas, you know, performance and kind of all the stuff he's been through a little bit more in the second segment. But also I wanted to ask you, with 20 or so games left in the season, what do you kind of expect, what do you want to see from the Rockets going forward, knowing that they're already out of the playoffs? They're really, it's all about draft position and player development. What do you want to kind of see from the Rockets going forward these last 20 or 21 games that they have left?
It's funny because what I would have wanted to see and how I would have answered that question is something I'm already seeing from the Houston Rockets, and that's them competing. Yeah. You know, this is a team that, you know, we previously mentioned all the adversity that they've been through. This is a team that could have stopped. This is a team that could have quit. This is a team that could have sat back and said, well, look, I mean, what do you expect us to do going through all of this? And then on a nightly basis, you see them still compete. I mean, you look at it. Last week, they had a game against the Phoenix Suns where they lost 133 to 130 in a game where you're playing one of the hottest teams in the NBA. The Phoenix Suns are a top five team. And as a matter of fact, they take them on tomorrow, on Monday night. And so, but you're looking at them competing and playing against a team like the Phoenix Suns, getting down by double digits and coming back and only losing by 3 points. And then they take on a team in the Dallas Mavericks who had just beaten the best team in the NBA, the Utah Jazz, and the Rockets are on a five-game losing streak. And the Mavericks are on a five-game winning streak. And what do? The Rockets win that game. They go to, you know, L.A. and they compete with the Clippers, another team who's going to the NBA playoffs. And then, you know, they play their next game in a back-to-back against a Golden State team who, you know, people are looking at their record and saying, you know, they're not as good as they used to be, but they're still a really good team. And, you know, they have a chance of making the playoffs. And so I use that example of those games to say that the Rockets were in all of those games. And so in the next 20 games, I just want to see them to continue doing what they're doing. Last week, I asked Christian Wood, the starting center for the Rockets, about tanking. He says, I hate that word. He says, I compete. I come in to win. I come into every game wanting to win. I don't go into a game looking, you know, not to win. And so that's what I love about this Houston Rockets team. I see them still fighting and still competing.
Yeah, and that's another thing I was going to bring up. You have kind of a unique perspective on it because you know, get to talk to the players and the coaches pre and post game. And I wanted to ask you because, you know, you see it just like I see it all the time in social media that, you know, fans and people that follow the team saying, oh, the Rockets should tank, Rockets should tank, or they're tanking on purpose. Or, I mean, you talk to the players and the coaches. I mean, I've said it for a long time. There's just no way that majority, if not all players, they want to win. They don't want to go out there and lose just for, they don't really care about draft positions and things that are going to happen next year. I mean, what's kind of your perspective on that? Do you ever have a feeling where players or coaches are purposely wanting to tank just because of a draft position?
As far as the Rockets concerned, or just the NBA overall?
I would say that, like in this case, because you talk to the Rockets a lot, just in the Rockets perspective.
No way. Yeah. No way at all am I looking at. And, you know, it's the small things. It's the intricacies and the nuances of what goes on and what can't be seen by fans when they're watching a game on television compared to watching it live. And, you know, I get a chance and an opportunity to be able to be in the arena to cover the Houston Rockets. So I see the things that the camera don't see. I see when they go to, you know, when they go to commercial break during TV, I see how the Rockets players and coaches talk to each other during the timeouts. I see how they get on each other. I see how, you know, the assistant coaches will, during a free throw, will pull a KPJ, a Kevin Porter Jr. to the side and talk to him about what he just did. Or, you know, you'll see a Coach Silas pull DJ Augustine to the side and tell him the type of sets that he wants to run the next two sets. And that's with them coming back on defense. And so those small things is what I see when I watch the Rockets. And so I can tell that they're still, you know, competing with each other. In that, in the game that I mentioned against the Dallas Mavericks, you've seen so much excitement from them when they were getting ready. Yes. You've seen so much excitement from the Houston Rockets when they were getting ready to win, that during that timeout, I hadn't seen them be that elated in such a long time because they knew that they were finally going to win. And those are the things that people don't see. So no, I don't see any quit in this team. And that's a testament to, you know, General Manager Stone and the Coach Silas.
Yeah, exactly. And I know it's a delicate balancing act when you know, maybe ultimately it's better that you finish in, you know, the bottom four, cause it helps your future. But like you said, I mean, you have, you know, these are actual real people. I mean, some of these people are playing for contracts. You have coaches that, even though there's no way, you know, in my opinion, that Coach Silas should even be considered, you know, his job being in jeopardy, but he's still, you know, like you said, it's his first job. He doesn't want to go out there and lose games. I mean, this goes on his record. This, you know, reflects on him. So there's no way he's happy about losing games. So I know it's a delicate balancing act, but I'm glad that you pointed out that there's no way that players will purposely, or coaches will purposely, want their players to go out there and lose. And, you know, they're playing this player because they want to lose, or this player. So I'm glad you definitely pointed that out, to let everybody know that, you know, you see it yourself. You know, you see stuff that we can't see while we're just watching on TV. So that's definitely, definitely some great point that you made there. That's going to wrap it up for the first segment. And second segment, I kind of want to expand on the fact that the Sarge is able to talk to a lot of the players and coaches, you know, during, before and after games. And he kind of has a different perspective on it that we may have. And I want to get his perspective on how Coach Silas has done throughout the year, you know, in this first year that's been, you know, as we've already talked about, has been a very difficult year for him in his first season as Rockets head coach. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
Hello, and welcome back to Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media Podcast Network. Again, we are joined by a very special guest, Big Sarge, a Big Sarge Media, and we are going to be kicking off segment two, talking about Coach Silas, and also later on in the segment, we're going to talk about just some of the current roster and how Sarge kind of sees the roster playing out going into next year. I want to get his opinion on that, but I want to start off with talking about Coach Silas, something we talked about a little bit before. Sarge, you have a, like I said, a unique perspective where you actually get to talk to the coaches and players before games, after games, you know, wins, and unfortunately mostly losses this year. Have you seen a difference in, of course, Coach Silas was, you know, begin the season, of course he was going to be more happier because the season hadn't started, he hadn't dealt with a lot of things he dealt with, but how do you rate his overall, the way he's been handling this whole situation? Like you said, in the first season, he's had a lot to deal with going into, you know, how he's dealing with it now. How would you rate, just from your perspective, how Coach Silas has been dealing with the season, how he deals with the media? What's your take on that?
You know, it's funny because you ever heard the phrase tale of two extremes?
Yes.
So you would think that, you know, being Paul Silas's son, yes, he'd be like, oh man. And once adversity hits and once they start losing, oh, he gonna flip the script, start acting exactly like his daddy. And yep, you know what? He has not. I love his demeanor. I love the way that Coach Silas, and don't get me wrong now, he's come to some of the press conferences very, very upset. There was a couple of times he's been short with us, but we can understand. I mean, you're in the midst of a losing streak. I mean, and some nights you're in the games and then some nights you're not. And so you're frustrated. And so he's been short with us like once or twice. But for the most part, he'll come and he'll answer the questions and he'll give you, you know, the answers. He'll answer the questions that you ask him. And, you know, his demeanor is always, he's always looking for the positive. And that's what I like about him. He's a mild-mannered guy, you know, with the media. Now, behind the scenes, I heard that he can, you know, you can hear his voice. You know who he is. But with his demeanor, he's always, like I say, he's always calm. He always answers the question. And he's honest. If there's something out there that did not happen, if there's something out there that did not happen, if he doesn't bring it to our attention and he's asked, he will tell you, hey, look, this is what happened. We're not getting the ball into the spots where we needed to be. We're going one-on-one too much. There's not enough ball movement. Our defense was not good. And so that's the one thing that I do like about him. The one thing that I respect about him is because there's not a lot of people who could go through a 20-game losing streak like that. There's not a lot of NBA coaches that can go through an NBA losing streak like that and still keep that same type of demeanor, be calm as he is.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, one thing I've noticed that, you know, pretty much every press conference where they win or lose, he's respectful. He answers the question. He goes through, takes the time. And like you said, I don't know a lot of coaches that in any sport that could have dealt with it the way he's, you know, been able to handle it and not just flip off and start flipping over tables. Cause I mean, a 20 game loser streak, that's gotta be a drain on, I mean, just as seen as a fan perspective, it was a drain. I can imagine how hard it was, you know, for the people inside the organization. So at least from that perspective, I can tell, you know, he's done a great job on that. And let me also ask you, cause you also talked to the players and I know just watching the NBA and covering a little bit, you know, these last few years, you know, you can sometimes tell when players are really not into the coach that much and they may not be playing as hard for that coach and maybe playing more for themselves. But talking to the players on the Rockets team, do you have a sense where they, you know, they go out there and they give their all for their coach and they really want the coach to succeed? Do you get kind of get that idea when you're talking to them?
Yes. And when you have a player, like, let's just say, you know, newly acquired Kelly Olynyk that plays, you know, the guy traded here in the Victor Oladipo trade to Miami. And one of the first things he said was, hey, look, I love playing for Coach Silas. This is after a couple of games. He's like, I love playing for Coach Silas. I like him. I like what he brings to the table. He's a player's coach. And so he's going to listen to you. If you see something different out there that he doesn't see, he'll listen to you. Christian Wood said that one of the reasons he signed with the Rockets was because of Coach Silas. Yeah. DJ Augustine says that he loves being here because he's played for his dad and now playing for him, but he was also an assistant with the Bobcats. And so not only does Coach Silas bring that cool, calm demeanor and that great offensive style, you know, once he gets a full healthy team on a consistent basis, I think we'll see exactly what the Houston Rockets could be. But Coach Silas brings in a pedigree that when you go to talk to him, you have to respect him because he's Coach LeBron James. He's coached Steph Curry. He's coached Luka Doncic. For the brief time, he even coached James Harden, but he's coached superstars. And so he knows how to deal with these types of players. He knows how to get the players, involved. He knows how to get the players together to keep them going. He knows how to keep the camaraderie going. And when you have a coach like that, you want to go out there and give your all. All the players that we talk to that we ever ask about Coach Silas, all the Rockets players, when we ask them about Coach Silas, they'll tell you, hey, look, here's a guy, I'll do anything for Coach Silas, because that's how they believe in him. So I've never heard one negative thing, even from the players who's left the Rockets. Yeah. You get James Harden didn't have a negative thing to say about Coach Silas, he even went so much as to say as it wasn't anything, you know, personal with Coach Silas, Russell Westbrook. Hey, look, it's not anything personal against Coach Silas. You know, it was some other things that went on behind the scenes. So, no, he has a great reputation when it comes to the players.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something to keep in mind when people are evaluating this year is that, yeah, they may have lost a lot of games, but sometimes you have to look deeper. It's more than just, evaluating the coach on wins and losses when it's in a season like this. Now, if you're expected to win and you have a great team like a Brooklyn or Utah, Phoenix, something like that, then you may can judge a coach differently. But this is definitely a rebuilding season if there ever was one for the Houston Rockets. So I think you have to dig deeper like you just did when it comes to Coach Silas and kind of to judge how he's done this season. And speaking of just kind of the roster going forward, for instance, you mentioned Kelly Olynyk. Would you prioritize signing him? Because him, Kelly Olynyk and Sterling Brown are probably the other two free agents coming up this season, also David Nwaba. Where would you re-sign a Kelly Olynyk at? Because right now he's making $12 million a year. He may command more in the open market. It's kind of hard to tell, but he's fitting perfect with his team since being traded here. He may not be, you know, part of the young core like the Rockets are kind of, you know, going forward have. Would you prioritize a Kelly Olynyk going forward, trying to sign him if he's still within that same range he's at right now?
Of course. Of course. I would definitely re-sign. And the Rockets shouldn't make that their number one priority in the offseason to do whatever it takes. Now, I don't want to say break the bank, but do whatever it takes to bring back a Kelly Olynyk, because Kelly Olynyk's presence on the floor opens up so much more for other people.
Yeah.
His presence on the floor and the things that he can do, it helps out. I put it like this. Jayshon Tate said after two games of playing with Kelly Olynyk, he's like, you know, I've never seen a guy be able to do the things that he does when it comes to manipulating a defense. He says, you know, that fake handoff pass that he turns and now he has what he can do whatever he wants to do because the defense hasn't adjusted to him not giving the ball up. Or if he gives the ball up, now the defense has to adjust to that, and he's rolling to the basket. I mean, he's really good at running the offense from the post position if he has to, but he can also step out and run the offense. The other night, he had 10 points and 18 rebounds. I think it was against the Mavericks. He had 10 points and 18 rebounds. And those 10 points, that was the least amount of points he scored since he's been a Houston Rocket. But that was the most rebounds he's had in a career. And so, you know, I asked him, what made you decide to sacrifice on the offensive end and give up the scoring in order to go to and get the boards and to play great defense? He says, I'm here to do whatever it is that's going to help this team win. And on some nights when you have a John Wall in the lineup, you know that you're not going to get as many shots. So you go and you see what you can do to help the team. I mean, Coach Silas has talked great about him. John Wall has talked great about him. Christian Wood talks really good about him because it allows – with Kelly Olynyk on the floor, it allows Christian Wood to get into his actual natural position, which is power forward. Yes. You know, I put it like this. he even has the ability and the skills to play small forward. And so – when Olynyk is not on the floor and you have to put him down at the center position, Christian Wood is not a good player with his back to the basket. He creates so much more when he faces up. So with Kelly Olynyk in the game, that allows him to become, you know, more free. It also allows a scrappy player like a Jayshon Tate, who's very aggressive, you know, going to the boards, especially for his size and the way that he dominates in the low post. That allows him to also be able to get to his spots on the backside or come in from the weak side and help either on the defensive end or clean up a missed shot. And so Kelly Olynyk has done so much more. He has a very high basketball IQ. And so I would say that the Rockets need to make him the number one priority.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. I've been saying that for a while now on social media that Kelly Olynyk just makes the game a lot easier for everyone else. And I'm glad you brought up the point of Christian Wood playing power forward. That is definitely, to me, I've been saying all year, that's his more natural position. He's not naturally a center that's going to go out there and be able to bang down low. I think that actually takes away from his offensive game, having to play down in the post like he had for most majority of the season for Olynyk got there. So I think re-signing Kelly Olynyk, like you said, as long as it's not anything crazy, like $16, $20 million a year, if he's still within this same range, you do whatever you can to re-sign him, not just because, you know, well, he's going to make you a championship contender team. It's not really about that. It's about how he can help develop the other players. Because I think ultimately he can help Christian Wood become a better post player, because Kelly Olynyk is not the most athletic player out there, but he's probably one of the more smarter players in the league. And he know how to play angles. He know how to get position early. And I just think that will help Christian Wood overall, definitely going forward into next year. And speaking of Kelly Olynyk and him coming over in a trade, I also want to get your opinion as we wrap up this second segment about Rafael Stone. I know a lot of people were down when he made the trade for James Harden. I know a lot of people were down on him when they thought they didn't really get anything back in the Victor Oladipo trade, that they should have gotten more. What's been your overall thoughts on Rafael Stone, even though this is his first official season as NBA general manager, but he's been part of the Rockets decision-making for several years now. So he's technically, he's really not a rookie GM. And I think people really need to, you know, pay more attention to that day. He probably knows what he's doing at this point. What's kind of your opinion of Rafael Stone throughout this season?
Well, just like I said about Coach Silas, he's another person, you know, in the Rockets organization who has had to deal with a bunch of adversity, you know, on the other end, as far as players, when it comes to, you know, the PJ Tucker contract situation, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, you know, eventually not want to be here, Victor Oladipo getting traded here, but not really buying into the Houston Rockets, and, you know, with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And so I would have to say that I think that he's done an excellent job as far as, because you're right, he isn't a rookie per se, but it's different when you have the final say.
Yes.
You know, being behind Daryl Morey and the way that he, because, I mean, I put it like this. In all honesty, when Daryl Morey was here, he was probably the smartest guy in the room. Yeah. Like, people don't really see that. And sometimes that's a good thing and a bad thing. But, you know, Daryl Morey would make the final decisions. And now that Rafael Stone has the opportunity and is the final say-so in these things that happens, along with Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, he's done a really good job. And people won't give him credit. And, you know, I know you were one of the ones who said it. And I also said it too. I was like, y'all are not allowing him, you know, you're not seeing, I have a saying, people would rather look at the selfie than to look at the portrait. Like, you don't stop looking at the selfie and look at the portrait. You're looking at the selfie right now in this season. General Manager Stone is looking at the portrait. He's like, look, I'm building something. I'm building towards, you know, a championship team. And so, and you got to look at it like this. He did right by James Harden.
Yes.
James Harden wants to be in Brooklyn. He said in Brooklyn. He did right by PJ Tucker. He knew that they couldn't get it together. He's like, okay, PJ, we'll make sure. He sent PJ to a contender.
Yes.
You know, he signed DeMarcus Cousins and got him paid before they cut him. You know, Ben McLemore, he allowed him to say, okay, look, man, we're going to, you know, we're going to do what's best for both of us. But I'm also, he is a person who would say, look, I'm looking out for the player as well. You know, the franchise comes first, but I'm also looking out for the player. And so I think that what he's done is great. I mean, you think about it. On the flip side of that, he brought in Jayshon Tate, you know, a player that people was on the radar but wasn't really on the radar.
Yeah.
Christian Wood, we know his story already. You know, Kevin Porter Jr., look at what he got for him. You know, KJ Martin. So he is a guy that you can tell that he does his homework. He looks at – he's a talent scout, man. He goes out and he knows, like, okay, this guy's talented. I'm going to see if I can't, you know, can't bring him in. And there's some other players on that bench that he has brought in that's going to be good for the Rockets later on down the line. But I like him. I think he's done a very good job this year.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed out, and actually I might steal that, the selfie and portrait thing, just to let you know.
That's it's okay, great, for everybody.
That's a great way to put it. Like you said, that he's definitely, I think a lot of people are way too focused on the wins and losses this year. And when they're evaluating both of them, Coach Silas and Rafael Stone, I mean, you have to look at the players he's brought in on. The Rockets didn't have a lot of draft capital, if any, this past season. And I think people need to realize that, that they'll be able to bring in a KJ Martin, a Kevin Porter Jr., a Jayshon Tate, which 30 teams passed on him twice in 2018 draft to bring him in, and to bring in even like a DJ Augustin, who people, when it happened, they were like, okay, DJ Augustin, what is he going to do? And you see, he's just like Kelly Olynyk. He's helped stabilizes the team. And then to bring in a Kelly Olynyk, and actually, you know, first off, hopefully Victor Oladipo gets back soon, but that was kind of the problem with the Victor Oladipo and thinking about signing him long-term was his injury history. And to bring in a player like Kelly Olynyk, who when he was brought in, people thought that, well, he's just a one-year type player. And actually people thought he may not even report to the team. He may get bought out. And to think that maybe part of the future now, I think Rafael Stone, overall the season, you know, factoring in all the negative things that have been going on, has done a great job. And, I definitely can't wait to see what happens going forward. And that's kind of going to lead us into our third segment, where I'm going to get a Big Sarge's opinion on the draft coming up, which I know is a huge topic on Rockets Twitter and this social media altogether. I want to get his opinion on not necessarily who he may pick number one, because I think that's consensus, but I'll still ask anyway, but who he'll pick if the Rockets fall to number two. So I'll get his opinion on that. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
Hello and welcome back to Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media. If you enjoy the show, do us a favor and drop a review or leave us some stars. All right, again, we are joined by Big Sarge of Big Sarge Media for this final segment. And like I mentioned right before the end of the second segment, I wanted to get his opinion on the draft coming up, because that's going to be probably the biggest draft in almost 20 years for the Houston Rockets that's coming up in a few months. So first off, let me start off with a lot of people have Cade Cunningham as the consensus number one overall pick. But before we get into if the Rockets fall number two, three, or four, what's your opinion on that? Is he your consensus number one pick if the Rockets fall, or actually are able to get the number one overall pick?
Okay. And because I have a HISD education, I'm going to ask you to break this thing down for me with the question that you're asking me. Yes. Are you asking me, is he the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, or should he be the number one pick for the Houston Rockets?
So I will ask you, since we're on the Launchpad Podcast, should he be the number one overall pick for the Houston Rockets?
No.
Oh, okay.
And the reason why is because, now don't get me wrong, I like Cade Cunningham. Yeah. I think that he's a walking bucket. Like, yes, he is a walking bucket. But I also think that given the time, Kevin Porter Jr. is a walking bucket as well.
Yes.
Once he learns how to play this point guard position, and a lot of people don't understand that point guard is not his natural position.
Yes.
I asked DJ Augustin last night, I was like, do you teach him? And he said, well, I don't just try to overbear him with things from the point guard position. But if he asks questions, you know, I let him come to me and I tell him, you got to play through your mistakes. And so he is not a natural point guard. They made him they put him in a point guard position to see how he would thrive. And so once he gets an offseason with the Rockets, you know, under his belt, once he gets some time to train on how to be an efficient point guard, he's a walking bucket. Like, his pace, man, that's the one thing that I like about Kevin Porter Jr. And I know we're talking about Cade Cunningham, but with Kevin Porter Jr., his pace, he seems like he is not moving fast, but in all actuality, he's moving pretty quickly, and he's manipulating the defense to think that, okay, well, I'm about to put you to sleep, but I'm also about to take you to the rack. And we can see now that he's starting to develop that jump shot. So I say that as I digress, I like Cade Cunningham. I think that Cade Cunningham is and should be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, in this upcoming NBA draft, I just don't think he should be the number one pick for the Rockets because they have Cade Cunningham already on their roster.
So, well, then let me follow up. So who would you take if you're the Rockets at that number one overall pick if you wouldn't take Cade Cunningham?
Okay, so I got somebody that I think that everybody's going to agree with, and then I have somebody that people going to say, you know, Sarge is a damn fool. And I don't even know why I follow him, but I keep following him because he says some outlandish things that make sense.
Yes.
So I like, and I think that the Rockets should explore taking Evan Mobley, center out of USC.
Yes.
And the reason why I say that is because now you have him at 7 feet. He's a rim protector. He's very talented in the low post. But going back to something that we said in the earlier segments, now not only does Christian Wood get to play his natural position, if you could re-sign Kelly Olynyk, you could put him at his natural position too at forward. Now you have a true center, someone who can play the center position. And I know that the Rockets like to play a lot of five outs, so I don't know how great his jump shot is, but sometimes when Steven Silas likes to go to a traditional type offense, you have that. And having the talented player like, you know, Christian Wood on one side, Kelly Olynyk on the other, and then you have the 7-footer in Mobley in the paint, I like that. Now, here's where it gets a little difficult and crazy, right? I also, and he is this guy that I'm about to say, he's projected to go 11th to the New Orleans Pelicans. I like Michigan's Franz Wagner. I really, really like him. And the reason why, he's a 6'10 guy that can shoot. He's a mobile big man who fits in right into Coach Silas's style of the five out. That sounds crazy to you, right?
I will say this. You are the first person to mention him as a possible top pick. So I will give you that for creativity.
I just, you know, watching him, and I know that, you know, everybody has the lasting impression that everybody's going to have is, you know, we've seen him miss that wide open three-pointer that could have advanced him into the next round. But if you watched him play over his last two seasons, he is getting better and better. I mean, and then he plays great defense too. I think he had like 30 steals, if I'm not mistaken, and 23 blocks. Yeah. You got to stat check me on that one, but you know, because it may be vice versa. I know it's 30 on one, 23 on another, but he's really good defensively as well. Something that Coach Silas preaches all the time. But, you know, as time goes on, he could develop, you know, a better jump shot, but he already has the fundamentals. And I mean, he's a 6'10 guy. So he also can get to the basket and finish at the basket. So, you know, just keep an eye out for that.
Like I said, and that's why I want to have you on, because you're not going to give the cookie cutter answer. So I love it. but as far as Evan Mobley, we're on the same wavelength as that. I didn't necessarily say him as number one, but I was definitely of the mindset if the Rockets fell to number two that I would take Evan Mobley over a Jalen Green or a Jalen Suggs, just because of, like you said, because of the fit. The Rockets, to me, it's Kevin Porter Jr.'s backcourt. I mean, you can definitely have, you know, another good player in the backcourt with him, but if I'm looking for Kevin Porter Jr. to take over the team going forward, I want him to be the ball dominant player. And if you have a Jalen Suggs or a Jalen Green, I don't know if that's necessarily going to fit together the right way going forward with two young players like that. And I just think that Evan Mobley, even though, you know, he still has some work to do, he's, like you say, he's athletic. He can run the court. He can block shots. He's a true 7-footer. And like we've been talking about the whole time, we definitely agree. Christian Wood is just more of a natural power forward than a small ball center. I don't even want to use the term small ball anymore because I don't ever want to see it again. I mean, it's fine every once in a while, but as a dominant offense, I don't want the Rockets to have to do any more small ball anything. So we are definitely on the same wavelength when it comes to Evan Mobley. I really like his game, and I think that he should definitely be one of the top two picks. And it also, if the Rockets fall number two, let me ask you this. Would you consider trading that number two pick for a player, let's say, like a Karl-Anthony Towns? I brought this up earlier, and it was kind of a mixed bag of some people saying I was crazy. Some people definitely agreed. What's kind of your thoughts on not even – it doesn't have to be Karl-Anthony Towns. It could be a player similar to him, because Of course, you would like to trade them for a top five overall player, but that's just not realistic. But a player like a Karl-Anthony Towns on a team that's struggling, that team that may be going in a different direction with your ownership, would you trade that number two overall pick for a player like Cat?
The only way that I would trade that number two pick to Minnesota for Karl-Anthony Towns is if I know without a shadow of a doubt that Kelly Olynyk has told me no. Okay. If he said, I'm not resigning with you all. I'm going to test the market. I plan on moving. You know, LeBron James has been in my inbox. You know, he's been DMing me. Yeah. He wants me to come. You know, Kevin Durant and James Harden have said, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin won't be here next year. And, you know, DeAndre's getting older. We would like to have a player like you here. Like those type of things. Even, you know, and I know, this is the side note. I think that he would also, like Kelly Olynyk, if he doesn't stay with the Rockets, he will fit in great with a team like Charlotte.
That's just up and coming team, yeah.
Yes, or Memphis. But anyway, that's the only way that I would trade. That's the only way I would trade the number two pick for Karl-Anthony Towns to Minnesota. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would honestly get out of the pick or trade the pick unless I am getting something of value like a Karl-Anthony Towns. But it would have to be I would need a small forward or a center, you know, in order to fill that position. And I just don't think that with Karl-Anthony Towns, he's too ball dominant.
Yeah.
And you already have players on your team that's going to need the ball. You know, John Wall needs the ball. Christian Wood needs the ball. You know, sometimes Jayshon wants the ball a lot. Sometimes Kelly wants the ball a lot. And so, no, there's no way I would trade for Karl-Anthony Towns unless, you know, well, I'm sorry, if Karl-Anthony Towns said Kelly Olynyk wouldn't be here. But that's the only way I would trade if I knew that Kelly Olynyk wasn't coming back. Because you can also get him at it. Great value version of Karl-Anthony Towns for cheaper price than Kelly Olynyk, right?
Yeah.
No, hey, look, that's no disrespect to Kelly Olynyk. I don't want to call him great value, but I mean, if we're looking at, you know, if I'm looking at Mrs. Barrett's bread and great value bread, I'm like more apt to grab the Mrs. Barrett's than I am to, you know, the great value. And hey, look, I hope that the millions and millions of listeners out there, I hope that one of them is a sponsor. that works for Mrs. Barrett and say we want to sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, but also no disrespect to Walmart, just in case we want to cover all
that. exactly.
But I definitely get your point because I mean going forward, it's all about fit, and you don't want to, you know, stifle any of the young players' development by bringing in a Karl-Anthony Towns. And that kind of also leads me to one of my final questions as we wrap up this third and final segment. Do you think there's any chance that the Rockets can or will move off of the John Wall contract? Or are they just fine with keeping Wall throughout his contract, knowing how he may can, you know, help expedite Kevin Porter Jr. Growth as a point guard? Do you think there's any way that they're trying to move off that contract, or are they just willing just to go ahead and stick it out through the rest of Wall's contract that lasts for at least a couple more years?
That's a very good question. And behind the scenes, I haven't heard anything about them. You know, I haven't heard anything behind the scenes about either sticking with him or moving on. So yeah. I definitely can't speak to that as far as, you know, the knowledge that I have. So I don't know about that. But, you know, if you're asking, you know, Big Sarge's opinion, I know that his salary is high. I know when you look at it, you'd be like, wow, this is a lot of money for a player who is still coming back off of injuries who we can't play in back-to-backs.
Yeah.
Here's a player that, you know, he got bumped, you know, in practice with his knee, and then he fell on his hip. And so here's a player that we haven't been able to play in all the games this season. But on the flip side of that, if you remove that injury history and just say, okay, he's going to get better, because when you have a player who hasn't played in the amount of time that he's played, your body, I put it like this, man. Like I told you, I'm about to be 50 years old. I can't run full speed. Like 3 years ago, I could run full speed. But if a dog get after me right now, he's going to bite me. You know what I mean?
It's not a rap, huh?
Exactly. And so, you know, and that's because over time, I would probably have to build back up to being able to run full speed. Yeah. So that's what John Wall is doing. He's building his body back up after missing so much time. What John Wall brings to that team, though, is an attitude. His attitude, and not a negative one. He brings a presence of, hey, look, I don't care. I'm going to give my all, and I'm going to come here. I don't care if I go 0 for 17. Guess what I'm going to do? Shoot an 18th shot. And players see that, and coaches see that. And you know what else I'm going to do? If I'm on the sideline, I'm just not over here sitting, you know, in my designer outfit and just watching the game. No, I'm coaching from the sideline, too. When timeouts come, I'm getting – at Kevin Porter Jr. telling him what he needs to do. I'm going to, you know, Christian Wood and telling him, hey, man, you need to be this, that, and the other. And so it's the attitude and the veteran presence. And, you know, what is it? What has been that saying this whole time? Hey, we want players who want to be here. Yeah. And everybody who said that, out of all the players who said that, there's only one player that's still here who I think wants to be here, and that's John Wall.
Yeah, that's very true. And I've kind of actually come around to where you at on it. I mean, if you just look at it from the salary perspective, yeah, it's a huge salary for a player that can only play, you know, one of the two games on back-to-back. But if I've just been looking at more of the fact that him and Porter Jr. have great chemistry, and I think that that helps Porter Jr. going forward, having a player like John Wall on the team. And you can actually still build the team and have cap room even with a John Wall salary. So I don't think you have to go out of your way to move on from John Wall and try to attach draft picks and do all this extra stuff. I actually think that they could still build a playoff team around, not necessarily John Wall as the focal point, but definitely as one of the bigger, you know, bigger names on the team. And let me ask you this final question before we wrap it up. Do you see a scenario where a John Wall can maybe be like a Chris Paul was? Because a couple of years ago, when Chris Paul was his last year with the Rockets, everybody was saying he was washed up. He was through. He couldn't play anymore. His salary was ridiculous. Why would anybody even want him? And now 2 years later, people are saying that he's an MVP candidate. I mean, maybe John Wall didn't get to that level, but do you think that he can have a career renaissance similar to Chris Paul?
Yep. A healthy John Wall can. And a healthy John Wall would lead this Rockets team right back into the playoffs. And if he has the right pieces around him, he'll lead them to, you know, to be able to contend. And so the one thing that I like about the Houston Rockets in their future is they've gotten younger, they've gotten smarter, and if they can stick with the current plan and maybe add a little, you know, a couple of more pieces, they'll be right back up there contending like they used to when James Harden was here.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. And for all the Rockets fans that have struggled through this year, I think it's a sunshine on the horizon. I think it's going to get better next year. It's all about being patient. And I think, you know, Rafael Stone and Coach Solis have been in the right direction. And that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. But before we wrap it up, Big Sarge, can you let everybody know the different platforms and the different places they can find you at?
Once again, you can find me at Big Sarge Sports with a Z at the end on Twitter, BigSargeSports.com as well. I am. You can find all my articles on Houston Style Magazine. And starting on April 13th, you can find me on Raise the Praise, RaiseThePraise100.com every Tuesday and Thursday from 1 to 4 p.m. on Sports Talk with Big Sarge. Hey, before I go, man, let me say this too. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Like I said earlier, I always, you know, enjoy the opportunities that I can that I have to be on people's platform. And so I appreciate you opening it up to me. And I want to say that you all do, you know, that you do great work, man. You and the people that you're associated with, you all do great work. I'm a huge fan and follower of you as well. I mean, anytime you can get your, you know, you can get your tweets to pop up during a Rockets game on AT&T. You know, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you think I was going to say nothing about that, right?
It's a little bit of, you know, cash, you know, being passed. No, I appreciate it.
but yes, man. So I definitely appreciate you, you know, you opening up this lane and this opportunity for myself as well, man. And keep up the good work. And before I go, You know, you would think as much as I talk about the Rockets that I'm a Rockets fan, but I'm actually a Brooklyn Nets fan. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me say it this way.
All right.
The reason why I am a Brooklyn Nets fan is because Kevin Durant is my favorite basketball player in the NBA. Kevin Durant left and went to, let's just say, the Atlanta Hawks, then I would be an Atlanta Hawks fan. I've been watching Kevin Durant his entire career. So I was an Oklahoma City Thunder fan for a very long time. I stayed an Oklahoma City Thunder fan when he went to Golden State because I just couldn't jump on that Golden State bandwagon. But when he went to New Jersey, I said, well, New Jersey's, you know, my favorite team in the NBA right now. And, it, you know, with Harden going there, because Harden is my third favorite player in the NBA, because it's Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and then Harden. And so now getting Harden, I was just like, oh, well, Brooklyn!
Yeah, so, 2 out of 3 there, huh?
but I say all that to say that, you know, if I could give any advice to anybody who wants to be in the media, especially when it comes to sports media, you have to learn to be able to take off your fan hat and put on your professional hat. I mean, there's no way. Everything that I just, you know, said throughout your podcast about the Rockets is something that I truly believe in, because I go into it with no team, no bias. I'm just reporting what I see. I'm just talking about what I see on a consistent basis. No hatred, no fandom, none of that. So if I could give any advice to up and coming, you know, sports media, journalists, podcasters, radio and television, just always make sure that you remove your fandom, put on your professional hat, and then report it that way. When you do it that way, you can always stand on one thing, and that's your integrity. In the Army, that they're big on. If they come to you and they ask you a question, and I guess the NCO, I would go to my, you know, to my junior soldiers and I ask them a question. And the first thing I say is integrity check, meaning that whatever you're about to answer, I am going to hold it against you if you're lying, because 9 times out of 10, I already got the answer. But you always stand on your integrity. So I didn't mean to get long-winded at the end. I just wanted to make sure to offer some advice.
And that's great advice, because that's the number one thing that I've tried and I'm still trying to this day, because I was a Rockets fan all my life. And getting into this, I've definitely tried to temper my – anything I say online, that it's always going to be – you want to base it off of your knowledge and not necessarily off of you being more of a fan of a team and saying things that are not necessarily true just because you are a fan of that team or that player. And that's definitely some great, great advice for anybody going forward, including myself, because I still fight with that to this day. So that's definitely some great advice. And I appreciate the breaking news on the being a Brooklyn Nets fan. I'm sure people will love that here in Houston, by the way. So.
Yes, I know. So, I'm going to get it.
So I definitely, like I said, I appreciate you jumping on, man. I always follow you and I always will. I definitely will be checking out your new venture coming up on April 13th. I check out everything else you do. You do a great job on Twitter and everywhere else. And I gotta say, I always tell people to definitely follow you, because you're definitely one of the most realest people on Twitter. And, you know, that's saying a lot, because there's not too many people on Twitter that you can count on. So I definitely appreciate you jumping on the podcast today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, man. Have a great one now.
All right. You too. And that's going to do it for today's episode. So if you haven't already done so, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow at Apollo HOU. That's Apollo HOU is in all caps for blogs, merch, video, podcasts, and more original Houston sports content not find anywhere else. As always, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back for our next episode of the Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.